Okay, great. Okay, so
Everybody mute.
Where are you, Rabbi?
Right now I'm in Clanton Park Shul, where the Beit Midrash of Lindo currently housed. So here we go. So we're now on doing Erevin Daf Lamed Tet Amud Aleph. So we were starting a Mishnah. Which actually very pertinent for this coming Shabbos.
You sound a bit distant from the mic. Yeah. I don't know.
Can you move a little closer to it, maybe, or something?
Okay, is this better?
Yes, yeah. Much better. Thank you.
Okay, a little bit closer. Okay, got it. So we're actually starting a Mishnah that's very relevant for this coming Shabbos and Yom Tov. So, which we'll see as we explain the Mishnah. So now, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yom Tov, Hasamuch, Shabbat, Ben Lufonah, Ben Machareh, Ma'arev, Adam, Shnei, Erevin. Omer, Erevi, Barishon, Mizrach, Washeni, Lamarav, Barishon, Lamarav, Washeni, Lamizrach, Erevi, Barishon, Sheni, Kivneiri, Erevi, Basheni, Barishon, Kivneiri. Okay, so that's a lot of conditions. So, just, so basically, we're talking about, right now we've got Yom Tov into Shabbos, or Shabbos into Yom Tov. Well, that means Friday is Yom Tov and Shabbos, and then Shabbos, or Shabbos and then Yom Tov on Sunday. So, which is the case we have with this year with Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret, where we have Shabbos leading into Yom Tov. So the question is, how do you do the Eruv? So basically, you can make two. You set up two errors, and you can say, and you place two errors prior to Shabbos and Yom Tov beginning, and you say that after you place them, you state that my Erev for the first day will be in the east, and the second day will be in the west, meaning, or that the first day in the west, second day in the east, meaning Shabbos versus Yom Tov. Erevi Barishon, right? Or you say the Erev is only working on the first day, meaning only Shabbos or Yom Tov, and then the other day. I'm not making my Erev. I'm using whatever everybody else is using. Or you can say alternatively, or that I am only using my Erev for the second day. But for the first day, I am considered to be the rest of the inhabitants of my town. I'm not making an Erev. I just want to have the regular tchum of my city. So that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. V'chachom amrim, o ma'arev l'ruach achat, o eno ma'arev kol ikar, o ma'arev l'shnei yamim, o eno ma'arev kol ikar. V'chachom, on the other hand, say, no, you can't differentiate between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rather, you can only make one Erev. You can either choose it, in one direction, or you can make no Erev at all. You can't pick and choose. No making two different Erevs, or saying, I'll use the Erev today, but not tomorrow. You can't do that. Right, so either you do it for both, either you make an error for both days, or you have nothing at all, and it has to all be in the same direction. So Ketzad Yaaseh, so then according to the Chachamim, what are you supposed to do? Molicho Barishon Machshei Chalav V'Naplo Uvalo. So he brings the error to the kitchen, which is to reside on the during the day before evening of the first day. And then you remain there. So this is assuming the first day is Yom Tov, and then you're at the item, the place where you left the item. Then you take it with you, and then you bring it back to wherever you are saying. And then on the second day, so towards the evening, you will again move while holding the item to the location where you want to be for Shabbos. Again, this is referring to when you have Shabbos leading into Yom Tov. So you have Yom Tov leading into Shabbos, so therefore you can carry on Yom Tov. So therefore you move the Erev with you as you go, and then before Shabbos, you drop it off at the place you want for Shabbos. And then for Shabbos, Erev where you dropped it off on Yom Tov. Right? Therefore you benefit from being able to walk in the direction that he wants, and you're also permitted to end up eating your Erev on Shabbos as well. So now the question is, what happens if it gets consumed to an echal b'rishon, irvol rishon, vein irvol l'sheni? However, seemingly, perhaps according to everybody, if you ate it on the first day, the irv only works for the first day. For the second day, whether it be Shabbos or Yom Tov, it will not work. So Amar Lan Rabbi Eliezer, Modi Matem Li Shehen Shtei Kedusha. So Rabbi Eliezer says, at the very least, agree to me that there's two distinct sanctities, meaning that the Eruv and the only for Shabbos and Yom Tov work distinctly, and that they're considered to be two separate sanctities, or two separate days, which is also what we often would recognize for the fact that we normally have two separate, right, for Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's separate brachot, that we say, there's different things to say, davening for each of them. Okay, they seem to be very different, so he's saying that even though, that at the very least, you're right, you might not agree with me that you can make from the outset two separate eras, but at least we agree that they're two separate. Can you show they're two separate holidays in terms of their sanctity? Shabbat and Yom Tov are not the same thing. So, yeah, so a lot of this is very relevant towards setting up of Erevin for Shabbat, such as this year. And we'll get to more details as to that as we get to the Gemara. Hopefully, it'll be clear again. If anybody has any questions, please chime in and let me know. So the ruach achat, mind you. So when we say that you're doing, making your eruv in one direction, what does that mean? L'shnei yamim. So that means you do it in one direction. It means you're doing it in that one direction for 2 days. So l'shnei yamim, mind you. Right. Then again, later on, when it says 2 days, what do you mean? Ruach achat, how do you promote that? What do you mean by by 2 days? We already said that. Why are you saying 2 days again? If you meant that 2 days means that you're doing 2 days in one direction, so we already had that in the beginning of the Mishnah. So why are we? Which means we're stating having two clauses meaning the exact same thing. So that's not like. So why would that be? Normally, the Mishnah every line teaches something new. So why are we not learning anything new from this? This is the line of the Mishnah. So how did Kamri lay Rabban Rabbi Elazar? No, actually, let's explain that line. It makes sense. Here's what the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer. Iyata modeh she'em arvin liyom echad chetzio l'tzafon v'chetzio l'derom. So the Chachamim asked, don't you agree that you can't make an Erev for half a day to the north, half a day to the south? Amar lahen, aval. He says, yeah, that's true. Then the Chacham continue. Kishem she'ein marvin liyom echad chetzi l'darom v'chetzi l'tzafon kach ein marvin l'shnei yamim yom echad l'mizrach v'yom echad l'ma'arav. So what the Chacham said that just like you can't do half a day in an eruv in each direction, similarly if there's two, you can't set up an eruv that'll work differently for 2 different days. One day in the east and one day in the west. Rabbi Eliezer. How would he respond? Hatam kedusha achat, hachat shtei kedusha. No, we're talking about within 1 day of Shabbos or Yom Tov. The reason we can't make two Erevs is because there's only one kedusha, there's only one sanctity for that day, right? It's Shabbos. So for Shabbos, you're allowed one Erev. For Yom Tov, you're allowed one Erev. So that's why you can't have half the day being one thing, half the day being something else. But hachat shtei kedusha. But we're talking about Shabbos and Yom Tov, or Yom Tov into Shabbos, therefore there's two distinct sanctities, therefore you can make separate Erevin for each individual day. Amar lahen Rabbi Eliezer, Yatem modim she'im irei baraglav yom rishon, ma'arei baraglav yom sheni. So then Rabbi Eliezer says, don't you agree that if you were to have made an Erev with your feet, meaning if you'd walk to the location you decided to reside on the first day, you can also do a similar thing to the second day of Shabbat, like Yom Tov into Shabbos. If you walked on, because again, there's two, in terms of setting up making your Erev Tchumin, so we've been talking a lot in this parak about making Erevs by use of food, by placing your food somewhere. But there's also another way to make an Erev, which is instead of placing your food somewhere, it's actually by walking there on Erev Shabbos and then staying there until it gets, or on Erev Yom Tov, then staying there until it gets dark and then walking home. So you're basically making air with your feet. So that's what I say, Erev Aglav, it's because of where you were at the onset of Shabbos Yom Tov would be what determines where your house is. So if you walk there, that means that's why you can make an air in that location. So just like you can do that for the first day, don't you agree you can do it the second day? So, and additionally, don't you also agree that ne'echal eruvo b'yom rishon and yetzela b'yom sheni? You also agree that not only to that, you could both days you could walk to location and make that your eruv, but you also agree with me that you can't. If you'd eaten your Erev on the first day, whether that be Shabbos or Yom Tov, you can't rely on the Erev for the next day. So, Amr lo aval. And then they said, you're right. Like, yes, but. And then the response, and then Rabbi Lezner continues his questioning. Halai shtek yushot hei. So, then wouldn't you have to agree that there's two separate kedusha, two separate sanctities, one for Shabbat and one for Yom Tov? If you're saying that you're allowed to do two different eruvs with your feet, as well as doing two different eruvs, that if you ate your eruv in the middle of Shabbos and Yom Tov, into Shabbos, and it's not around for the next day, then it won't work. So that doesn't mean that you agree that they're two separate sanctities, and therefore they should be allowed to have two separate eruvs. So, and so what's the Rabbanan's response? So Rabbanan, Sabukim Asakalu. No, the answer is basically the Chachamim weren't sure as whether or not it's one sanctity or two sanctities. So therefore, they were stringent in both directions, both being careful that if the eruv had been consumed, that you can you would have to have a separate eruv for the second day. But on the other hand, they're not letting you set up two separate eruv in advance. So they're being machmir in both directions. Whether it's one sanctity or two sanctities, they're unsure. So they're machmir in both directions. So Amr lo Rabbi Eliezer, Yata moda she'en ma'arvim betchila b'yom tov l'shabbat. So then Rabbi Eliezer said the Chum said to Rabbi Eliezer, Yata moda she'en ma'arvim betchila b'yom tov l'shabbat. So he says, don't you agree that you're not supposed to make an erev on Yom Tov for Shabbos? So, like, don't you say that you could do that? So Amar Lahan Aval is like, yes, but, and then they say, no, hi, lai, shtek, du shachi. So then Rebbelezer said to them, so then Rebbelezer says that, fine, and then they say back, wait, then what do you mean that the 2 days are considered to be one sanctity, not two? So then, like, then why couldn't you, if you forgot to make your Erev on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, why, right, of the 2 days, if you forgot, why can't you simply set it up for the next day? So Rezer, Hatam Mishum Achani. He says, no, the issue there has nothing to do with there being two separate sanctities, rather because of preparation for Shabbos and Yom Tov or vice versa, which is Aser Midrabanan. Right, so just to explain that a little bit, there's a general prohibition on Shabbat and Yom Tov of preparing from that day for another day, so you would not be able to set up an Erev. Therefore, you can't set up an Erev from Shabbos into Yom Tov, or from Yom Tov into Shabbat on the day itself, because that's considered to be preparing for another day. Normally, this comes up in terms of you're not supposed to do things that are going to be preparation for the following day. In terms of the most frequent occurrence of this is by, let's say, on Shabbos, like you're not supposed to, in terms of things that you would do on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that would be considered to be preparations for the following, for during the week. So that comes up.
Like when we have a 2 day Yom Tov and you can't prepare the next night's meal until Shki or whatever.
Until they have been right.
So that's safe. Okay.
Right. That's because I didn't really want to mention the two day Yom Tov and how that works because it might work differently.
Okay, but certainly it's the same idea with respect to Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Correct. So for that, I mean, I'll address it now. I think the Gemara might get to it later, but just briefly. So in terms of from one Yom Tov, for in terms of 2 days of Yom Tov, so the issue is that we're not sure. The question is why when you have 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz, or let's say for Rosh Hashanah, is it considered to be one Kedusha or two? And whether or not there's an issue of Achanot from one to the other. So in terms of Yom Tov Sheni and Shel Goliot, right, meaning the 2 days of Yom Tov and outside of Israel, so that's to kind of midrabanan that they're treated separate, like it's dumb midrabanan that treated separately as if they're separate days. So therefore, that's why, even though they really should be one Kedusha, they're treated like the two Kedushot. Also because, again, if one of those is Yom Tov, the other day wouldn't have been Yom Tov, but it's on the Safek. And for Rosh Hashanah, even though we'd call it Yom Arechta, right, we call it one extended day, we'll get to more detail here. We'd still try and be stringent to not do any preparations early. But again, for that part about how the different Kedushot of Rosh Hashanah, hopefully we'll get to that the upcoming Dapim more.
This issue is even more clear because it's Shabbos and then Yom Tov.
Correct. So even if there wasn't right, this year there's no question whatsoever, according to any opinion in the Gemara or the Mishnah, everywhere else, everybody agrees that there'd be a problem with the Chana because we've got Shabbos into Yom Tov. So everybody agrees it's a problem. In an ordinary year, you could make an argument about Rosh Hashanah, but we'll get to that when we discuss more about Rosh Hashanah, hopefully. So now we're continuing. We're a couple lines from the bottom of Lamed Chet Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, Yirev Beraglav B'yom Rishon, Ma'arev Beraglav B'yom Sheni. So we learned in a Braita that if you made an Erev by walking on the first day, you do the same thing on the second day. Nechal Erev B'yom Rishon, Ein Yotze Alav B'yom Sheni, Dvei Rebbe. If you'd eaten your Erev on the first day, then you can't rely on that Erev for the second day. This is what Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Then Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Zechamar Gamal. So he says basically you ended up, you become a donkey driver and a horse driver. You're being pulled in two opposite directions. And it's not a very pleasant place to be. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yishmael ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omrim, Iri Baraglav Rishon, Ein Ma'arav Baraglav B'Sheni, Nechal Ervo B'Yom Rishon, Yitzei Alav B'Sheni. So, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, said that if you made an Erev the first day with your feet, then you can't again make an Erev with your feet on the second day. And if you made an Erev on the first day, you can rely upon it for the second day as well. So that seems quite probable. That seems that the Yehuda Hanasi is the one who says there are two separate sanctities. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael say that's all considered to be one sanctity. So Amarav halacha ka'arba zekeinim halalu aliba de Rabbi Lezer da amar shteik dushot hein. So Rav said the halacha is in accordance with these four chachamim, as well as being in accordance with Rabbi Lezer, says that that Shabbat and Yom Tov are each two separate sanctities. So if elohin arba zekeinim, here are the four zekeinim that we're talking about: Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So who are these four chachamim we follow lahalacha? So the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yishmael, son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yose Bar Yehuda, who are often the people who are listed as the Stimta. I mean, they're also many attributed Mishnahs are in their name. And another version of this, of the statement that Rav said, that so the mother say, is that actually there are actually only four, and if you should replace Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda with Rabbi Elazar. So Baha Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Ipcha Shemina Lu. Ipoch. Wait, but didn't we just hear in the Braita before that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel hold opposite of the Braita above, where it says, because they looked like they were saying there is two, but there's only one Kedusha, whereas we say the Halacha followed Rabbi Eliezer, who said there's two Kedusha. So how's it possible? Ipoch. You're right. We should switch around that brayta. We mixed up Rabbi Yehuda and Asi's opinion as well versus the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael. So, Ihachi Hainu Rabbi. If so, then wouldn't that be exactly what Rabbi Yehuda and Asi said? And then, wait, so that means that our beginning of our Mishnah and the end of our Mishnah are saying the same exact thing. So how does this help us? So, Ema, V'chanamar, Rishim, and Gamliel, V'chulei. Rather, you should phrase it as, actually, they meant to say the same, the second of the brayta should have read, and similarly, Rishim, and Gamliel, Rishim, and Roka, also agree. That's what it meant to say, just, you know, there's a mistake. L'chshov Nami Rebbe. So, then if we're talking about the list of people who we follow halacha in this regard about the how many days whether or not there's one sanctity or two sanctities. So lechshov nami Rebbe. Then Rabbi Yehuda and Asi should also be counted because he's also the same opinion. Reni tani leiv lo sabarla. No, rather Rabbi Yehuda taught the opinion, but he himself didn't feel it was correct. So he was simply transmitting his teacher's opinions, not really his own. That's why he didn't say halacha is like him because he didn't really stand behind the opinion. So Rabbana Nami Tandulev Losavrila. So what do you mean? So why do you say also that the Chachamim of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael and everybody else, maybe they also didn't hold it. The only person who definitively holds it quite clearly is Rabbi Eliezer. So maybe also everybody people listed amongst the four are also simply stating their teacher's opinions. No. Rav Gemara Gamirlu. Actually, Rav wasn't stating his statement based on any particular Mishnah or Brayta he was looking at. Rather, he was stating it based on his tradition that he had from his teachers, and therefore that's how he knew that these four Zakenim all held of this that opinion. Okay, so Kinaf Navshe Derav Huna Ailer Chista Lemirma Derav Adarav. So when Rav Huna, Rav's primary student passed away, Rav Chista entered the study hall to raise a conversation between two things that Rav had stated. Mi Amar Rav Halacha Ka'arba Zakenim, Baliba de Rabbi Lazar to Amar Shekir Janain. Rav state that the halacha would follow the four Zakenim, as well as stating the fact that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's two sanctities. So again, so he's quoting a brayta from before, what Rav said before, and now he's going to ask the ha'itmar, now another statement of Rav. Shabbat v'yom tov, Rav amar nolda bazeh asur bazeh. Yet, if he's saying they're two separate kedushot, that Shabbat and for separate things. Yet Rav says that if an egg was born on the first day, it is usur on the second day. Right. So this is going back to Masechet Beitza or looking ahead to Masechet Beitza. About the issue of from one day of Yom Tov to another one, there's an exera derabanan that you can't use an egg that was not yet prepared and not ready yet. You can't use that egg. From day one, if it was born on day one, you can't use it on day two, So how is he saying that you can't that from Shabbat to Yom Tov, if they're actually separate kedusha, how could that be? You could argue, let's say, if it was 2 days of Yom Tov or Rosh Hashanah is where it's kedusha achat, maybe. But how could you say that for Shabbat and Yom Tov when there's two separate kedusha? How can you say that? So Amaraba Hata Mishumachana. No, so Rava says, similar to what we mentioned earlier, that why is it usher from one to the other one? It's nothing to do with the issue of steak kedushot. Rather, the issue comes down to hachana, that you're preparing from one day to another day, and that's why it's a problem. Nothing to do with the issue of there being one sanctity or two. The Tanya, as it states in Ebraita. So again, now we're going to explain the source for Hachana. So, v'hayav yom ha-shishi ve'chinu. Right? So, Asher Aviyu. So we're talking in... now we're back in Sefer Shmot, talking about Parshat Haman, about how you're supposed to have prepared everything on Friday for Shabbos. Chol mechin l'Shabbat, v'chol mechin l'Yom Tov, v'ein Yom Tov mechin l'Shabbat, v'ein Shabbat mechina l'Yom Tov. So just like we learned from the story of the man, that during the week you can prepare from the weekday, the secular day, to the Shabbos, and from the secular day to Yom Tov, but you can't prepare from Yom Tov for Shabbos or from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Okay, so therefore, there's a Deirat Midrabanan of preparing from one day of holy, from one day of Shabbat or to Yom Tov or vice versa, and that's why you can't. That's what we mean by the Beitza is for the egg is forbidden, and when it was born, then that's why. So Amar le Abaye. Then Abaye said to him, Elahadit nan ketzad huose, molichol barishon umachshich alav, rot la uvalo. So Abaye said to him, what about which we learned in the Mishnah, that if they could bring it to, the Mishnah stated, like, how can you get around it if you hold a one Kedusha, according to the Chachamim? So what did he do? Ketzad huose, molichol barishon umachshich alav, rot la uvalo, vashini machshich alav, ochlo uvalo, haka mechin, Yom Tov Shabbat. So then, wait. Our Mishnah, we have the case of bringing on when Yom Tov into Shabbos. You bring your Erev on Erev Yom Tov, and you wait on Yom Tov like till Yom Tov is done, and then you take the Erev back home with you. And then on Yom Tov before Shabbos, you walk to the place you want your Erev to be, and then you wait there as well, and then you can take it and eat it. But on the second evening, so we're like, wait. But then, how could you do that? Didn't you just very clearly do Hachana from Yom Tov to Shabbos, because you literally took on the second, on the end of the first day, you took an item in order to set up an Erev for the next day. Like, how can you do that? That's clearly Hachana. Right? So what are you doing? How is that allowed? So, Amar Le Rabba, Misfaret Sof Hayom Kon Erev. So who's to say that the Erev is what acquires one's residence? Tchilat Hayom Kon Erev. Rather, can you say instead that you acquire your Erev based on where you are at the beginning of the day? And therefore, and then on Shabbat, you're preparing for Shabbat itself. So therefore, it's as if you didn't do anything wrong. So, right? So actually, because your Erev is only going to affect in the moment where it changes, so that's why you don't really have any issues there. So yeah, it is a little strange, but that's how he says it. El me'ata yarvu b'lagin. So then Abaye then asks, but if that's so, then shouldn't we be able to make an Erev with the flask of wine that still have things that are forbidden in them? Because then you could, again, we're back to the story we said about can I make a conditional separation that it'll go into effect, if I separate it out now, will go into effect on Yom Tov, will it work or will it not work? Right, so meaning as an I say that I'm separating out my truma, the trumas that's now in this basket or in the bottom of the barrel, that but it's only going to be separated it after nightfall, so would that be able to work or not? So why don't you simply say that you could do that? So the answer is b'inan suda ruvadion deleika. So you're right. From the time frame where it occurs perspective, you would be okay. But we still have the issue of you need to have b'inan suda ruvadion deleika. You need to have the meal be fit to be eaten prior to then, and that is missing here. Right, as we explained more yesterday, but basically, that in order for your Eruv to be kosher, it's not a question of when is your Eruv going to affect. It's a quest. There's a separate issue of you have to have it be a food that you can eat before Yom Tov or Shabbos. Right, it has to be able to be eaten on Friday in order or an Eruv Yom Tov in order for it to be used in the Eruv on Shabbat or Yom Tov. So Elahad Nan Rabbi Lezer Omer Yom Tov Asamoch Shabbat Ben Lufanah Ben Melcharam Adam Shnei Erevin. So, but what about, there's another, Abai has another question. What about, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer is stating that Yom Tov going to Shabbos, or whether it's before it or after it, you can make two eruvs. Hab inans udar uyam bod yom v'leika. Don't, that how is this possible? Don't you require a meal that you could have eaten during the day, and there isn't one? Because then basically you said, while you're moving locations, right? So that means that where the food was on prior is not where it is now. So as in, it's not really, as in, if you're planning on saving it for the next day, then you never really had in mind for it to be eaten. So, right? So how could that work? Because then again, you have your Erev to 4,000 Amot apart from each other, which would be a problem. Because then then your Erev would have been in a place where you couldn't access it the previous day, and that would be an issue. So, Misar Demanachle Besof Alpaim Amalekan Besof Alpaim Amalekan. Who's to say that you're talking about where it's at the farthest 2,000 in each direction? Lo Demanachle Besof Elef Amalekan Besof Elef Amalekan. Rather, in order to make sure that it's accessible, really you place the Erev is only 2,000 Amot in between them. So, therefore, it's 1,000 on this side, 1,000 on that side, which means that at every given point, your Erev was always accessible to you, both on Shabbos and in Yom Tov, for you to have eaten it. So that's how we solve the issue of it being inaccessible. So on the eve. So El Hada Amar of Yehuda, Ere Braglab Yom Rishon, Ma'are Braglab Yom Sheni, Ere Vipap Yom Rishon, Ma'are Vipap Yom Sheni, Haka Mechim Shabbat Yom Tov. So we still have a problem. What about Rav Yehuda, who says that one made an Ere with his feet on the first day, he can do it again on the second day. If he made a Ere with bread on the first day, he can use it again for the second day. Wait, aren't you preparing for the second day of Shabbos Yom Tov, whether that be in your walk, whether you're doing your walking, or whether it be because of your eating? Either way, like, aren't you doing something wrong? So Amar Lai Mis Varat Azel V'Amar Midi. Wait, so who's to say that you need to actually go and say anything? Azel V'Shatik V'Yatif. Rather, he goes, he's just there, and he sits there. So therefore, he didn't do any actual active act in terms of making the second Erev. When he walked, and that solves that problem, that simply he sat there. So you can't, because he didn't actually do any action, it's clearly hachana. We say, you know, he just went for a walk. He happened to be at this place he wanted to be, but we say that's not sufficient to be considered to be hachana for these purposes. So come on. So then who does this follow? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This actually follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. To Amar Chetzei Hefker Kodin Shvita. This must be according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that items that are ownerless are considered to automatically acquire residence, have its own boundary. Therefore, it's not you that creates the boundary, but the item that creates the boundary, and that'll solve your issue of hachana, because you didn't actually do anything. So, no, then we say no. Afilu tema rabbanan kan lo pligi rabbanan alei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri ela biyashen delo matzi amar. So rather, what can we say instead? That when do the rabbis argue with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? It's only when somebody is sleeping, who can't, right? This is a question of do you have to be awake in order to make your Erev or not? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan are arguing about a case of where you can, if you're sleeping, is that considered good for the Erev? Do you get an Erev if you slept through banished mashos? So would that work or not? Because the question there being is you have to be able to say, you have to be conscious in order for your Erev to go into effect. So I mean, that's sleeping problem. Of Neyor, the E Ba'i Lamemar, Matsi Amar, Af Al Gab, Dal Amar, Kamanda Amar Dami. Right? So they argue about the case if you slept through Banish Mashos, would the Erev go into effect or not? But here it's different because you may not, the question is, did you say it or not? But as far as here, it's like, because you could have said it, they both would agree that your Erev would be good if you only sat there and said nothing, because as we need the potential of your being able to say the statement of this is my Erev, not that you actually need to necessarily say it explicitly. So Amarle, Rabba Bar, Rav Chani, Labaye. I have Shmia Le Lamar Hadatanya. So Rabba Bar Barav Chani said to Baye, if you'd heard this Brayta, they'd have changed their minds. So now what is that Brayta? That's 1 second. Okay, so that's Lo Yehalech Adam L'Sof Sadeyu Leda Ma Hitzricha. So we say that a person is not allowed to go walk to the end of his field and see what it needs to basically take a walk on your property and see what you need to fix during the week. So that's Aser. Similarly, Loitayel Adam Al Petach Medina Kadesh Yekhnes Lamarchatz Miyat. All right, so they're clearly missing the statement that if you had that a person should not go around walking in order to get basically going. Why did you go for a walk on Erev on Shabbos? Not because you wanted to go on a nice, relaxing Shabbos or Yom Tov walk and enjoy the nice, fresh air. Rather, you were walking in order by the entrance to the exit of the city because you wanted to be closer to the bathhouse, which is located outside, located the town over. Right, so you're not actually doing anything that's for is clearly a case of a problem of Hakana now. So Hadarbe Velohi, Shamale Velo Hadarbe. So wait, so we hear this in your house by the back. This is really the case. Would they really have changed their minds? Ohatam Muchamilta Hakala Muchamiltahi. Right? No. The issue is that's not true, because there it's clear that it's a case of Hakana, and here it's not. Is Yitzhak Rabbanan who Amrish Maitita Mashachte? If this person happens to be a student of scholars, then that means maybe he simply wandered over there. Again, the case of walking and sitting down for the air. Maybe he thinks that the guy was so lost in thought that he managed to walk to the end of the tchum. The Iyamaaretu Amri Chamra Irkas Lay. So and if he's a amaretz, meaning somebody who's not learned, so maybe he's he saw a he was taken there by his drink or by his he wandered over there, just wandered, nothing in particular, because if the person is simply walking to the end of a location, there is room to say that you simply, you simply went on a walk. You can't say that in the case of the case of where you're moving your actual Erev, or the case of where you're actively standing by the exit to enter somewhere. So that's the issue. The issue there is that it not only does it look bad, but it's quite clear from reactions that there's no other way you could conceive of why the person's there. If there's another reason why you could have been there, then that's fine. But if there isn't, then that's an issue. Okay, so we're going to stop there. So now let's just go back and explain we covered a lot of different topics today. They'll be coming up again as we keep going on. So let's head back to the Mishnah and sum up. That way we can hopefully keep everything more organized as we move forward. So we started talking about Shabbat into Yom Tov or Yom Tov into Shabbos. The question is, are they considered to be one long day or two separate days? Do they have one sanctity or do they have two? Then based on that concept, the question of when you're setting up your Eruv, can you set up separate Eruvs for each day, or does it have to be one Eruv for both days? We also spoke about in terms of you're setting up an Eruv Tchum with your feet, how you would do that, and how that would work out in terms of both Shabbat and Yom Tov. We also introduced the and dealt at length with the concept of Hachana, of preparing from Shabbat to Yom Tov or Yom Tov to Shabbos, how that's problematic, just like it's problematic to prepare from Shabbos to the weekday. It's also problematic to prepare from Shabbos to Yom Tov or Yom Tov to Shabbos, right? That's Isser Midrabanan, and we say that Isser is connected to the Isser we had about right the Isser of Beit Hashanolda Yom Tov, of that if you had a egg born on Yom Tov, you can't use it on the other Yom Tov or the next day of Shabbos. So that's, we say that is connected to this concept of the issue of Hachana, and even so, which is actually a separate issue from that of one Kedusha or two Kedusha. So again, issues we run into when we're doing things with 2 days of Yom Tov, one day to the other day, we run into one question we have to deal with is it one sanctity or two? Also, the question is are we preparing from one day to another day? And then we dealt a little bit about the question of whose opinions are which and how they line up in terms of who actually holds of one Kedusha versus two Kedusha. And then towards the end, we started talking about the question of how can the Mishnah state that you can go somewhere with your feet and, you know, or bring the food over? How is that not a violation of Hachana? And how we can get around it? And why in certain cases we say it's a problem because of Hachana, because you're clearly doing an action. There's no other reason why you've been doing it except for in order to do the forbidden action. So in that case, that's a chana. But let's say if the action that you're doing simply could have been because you're going for a walk or a stroll, right, and you happen to also be able to, so then that is a place where it's potentially excusable and not being an issue, an isser of a chana. Right, so the case there, we mentioned, the fact that you simply walk towards the end of your property, end of, like, you know, your tomb, as opposed to walking, you know, your property, you know, like inspecting it to see if it's anything broken. We said it's because you simply went for a nice stroll. So you can argue that you can say, why did you go for the nice stroll? Well, maybe he got lost in thought, right? If he's thinking, maybe he's like thinking about something, some Torah he learned, or maybe he was, taken there by his because he was drunk. If he's not so learned, and that's the other way to explain when somebody's wandering aimlessly is because, well, they're a little tipsy. Again, that's the nicest thing or the best thing to do. Again, normally frowned upon, but that is something that you could use as reasoning, and that would allow it to not be considered to be hachana. So hopefully, we'll do leading up Roshana, the next stop will also be very, very relevant to the way to Roshana, especially as it falls out this year. And hopefully, we'll be able to discuss it more tomorrow and the following day.
Thank you.
All right. If you have any questions, feel free to ask them, and I'll see everybody tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care.